What up, this is your boy DJ EFN. You might know me as a drink champ, but first and foremost, I'm a proud father. I linked up with two of my other dad homies, Manny Digital and KGB, to start the Fatherhoods podcast. Each week, we bring you insider hip-hop stories, parenting, and advice and therapy. The saying is true, it takes a village, and we humorously serve as each other's trusted counsel in figuring out how not to screw up being a good dad.
The Fatherhoods Podcast. Beats, rhymes, and diapers.
Yo, Fatherhoods fam, when you're out and about with your baby and they start wilding out, what do you do? Most dudes are fumbling through the traditional baby bag their lady prepped for them, trying to find that one thing that will calm the kid down. That doesn't have to be your life. Dig no more. The firstborn diaper backpack from Fly Dad has over 21 compartments to have everything right where you need it to be for you and your baby, and keeping you fly through the process. Get $20 off when you visit flydadgear.com/fatherhoods.
Yo, yo, yo.
So has the CIA come knocking on anyone's door yet?
No.
Were you concerned? After
no, but we need to sign up for the Everyday Spy program, man.
What does that mean? Because we're supposed to have...
Kay was totally down with all this when we ended the last episode. Now he looks like he's like shook. Like, no, I actually thought about it. And Illuminati got my soul, mind, and my body.
How could I look shook? I'm emotionless looking.
That's your shook. Your emotionless look is everything. It's shook. It's anger. It's strength. It's sadness.
Yo, come to think... I'm trying to
remember. I like the Everyday Spy.
I've never seen you...
I've
never seen you pissed off, Kay.
Oh, I've seen him pissed.
Like, I can't
look right
time.
There. That's pissed. The look he just gave is it's a little nuance in the one little wrinkle in his eye. looks the same to everybody else.
You know what though? I don't think we've ever been in an environment where you would have gotten pissed off together. That's probably why.
Yeah, it's usually on some chill shit. But Ian and I have been in a couple funky scenarios.
We have been.
Speaking of funky scenarios, E, do you remember when you and I first met?
Wasn't it at the Mayday show, wasn't it? Or is it someone was DJing? Erykah Badu was DJing?
Nah, yo.
Spot, right? Yeah, that you came. Kay had you meet me up.
Nah, bro. You and I met. So Kay wasn't even living in Miami anymore.
Yeah, I know.
But you were there, right? You were still living there.
In Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, he told me to link up with you because you're his frat brother.
Uh-huh.
And whatever. And you came to this club. Is that club in Midtown? That little spot. I think it's called a living room or some shit like that.
I went there, but it was... I think we met before that. So check what happened. We met at a Chipotle, bro. It was you.
No, bro, that was not the first time. That was the next time. Yeah, that was the first time and was you at the get,
and you get more drunkerer than I, and you remember that? Because I remember that.
Because we were trying to have convo in fucking in a little ass venue with music, and we're trying to have like a fucking like industry a conversation, like you know, like picking each other's brain. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And then you came to some, I don't know where, the Wynwood thing, why you hung out with us.
That was a Mayday concert, I think. Okay. No, that one was because I knew Noms, and I was going to support Noms, and then I just realized that you had something to do with Mayday at that point. I don't think I knew that.
But you're trying to say that's the second time maybe that we met, that thing happened at Chipotle?
So this might actually be the most riveting podcast conversation we've ever had.
No, I bring it up because my kids asked me the other day, like, how do I know you?
Right.
And I'm tracking back, like, when was the first time we met? I mean, obviously Kay was the plug, but then like what circumstances made us meet? And then why are we friends now? Right? Because I could have easily just been like a passerby, sort of like, yo, hi, bye, and never see each other again.
I could tell you, well, Kay put the word in that you're a good dude and that we should link up. And, you know, to me, that holds a lot of stock if Kay tells me someone's a good dude, because I think Kay's a good dude. He's one of my closest friends. And so that's how we linked. And then you were smart enough to humor all my dumb shit that I was telling you. And you were like, yeah, bro, I'm going to really help you. We're going to fucking tomorrow. We're going to blow. And I'm like, bro, this guy really believes in me.
Because we're both dreamers. So you were like, oh, another dreamer.
You're way more of a dreamer than I am. You were like, bro, what you've done is amazing. And I'm tomorrow, we're going to make billions.
It was around the 10th anniversary of Crazy Hood, if I remember correctly. You were about to celebrate the 10th anniversary.
Nah, it was the 20th already, bro. No way it was the 10th.
No, you're right, 20. No, because you're hitting 30, or you hit 30.
We're hitting, this year's 30.
This year.
Yeah, so it was around the 20th anniversary. I was still, I think, at the Viscane office.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, and then this, you know, we connected, and my thing is, if you meet someone that you feel is genuinely a good person, a decent person, you should try to, you know, keep those people around, because those are hard to find.
All right, I'm going to record this and I'm going to stash it, because nobody's going to believe that you're actually giving me props right now. So I got to make sure.
I give you props all the time, bro.
So let me ask you guys this in the whole convo of friendship.
What? Why are you laughing?
Because it sounded like you just heard the voice of God speak.
Because the shit did the Max Headroom on my end. Oh, like, did it? Okay. It sounded like the beginning of Liquid Swords. Is that Liquid Swords? No, maybe not. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
okay.
So what do you got? What do you guys do? You have conversations with your kids and maybe?
Oh, you're tying it all back to father. Yeah, like,
come on,
like,
come on, man. I'm a pro. And so conversations about friends and E. I don't know if you've even had these conversations with like your daughter at this point. Might be too young still, but like just. Like under like, how do you talk to your kids about friendship and making friends and like how valuable or not valuable friends can be? Like I'm definitely having more and more conversations about that with my son, just in terms, especially coming to like a new school and all that kind of stuff. And like, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a ton of friends versus finding and sticking with people that you really vibe with, because you know that's way more important than, you know, the quantity. Have you had any kind of friendship conversation with your daughter yet? Does she make friends?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, the only conversations is trying to figure out, you know, if she remembers other kids' names, like who are your friends, and she. The only where we've just recently noticed that she's like, she has like the one kid that she like says is her friend and that went to her birthday and she hung out with that kid the most, you know, so obviously that kid has influence on her or vice versa. But I don't feel she's old enough. And what I wanted to say to that is really quick is that I feel like I'm impatient because I want to be able to have more mature conversations that will actually stick and sink in. And, you know, you just feel like, I want to get to her before they do, you know, type of mentality. You know, before the other people get to her. And so I want to have these conversations and, you know, I'll try to throw things in. And my daughter's pretty funny, man. Like I'll try to go deep with her and I'll be like, Emmy, look at me. And I'll start talking to her and she'll be like, can I have a popsicle today? Right. And I'll be like, what the fuck, man? I'm trying to go deep right now with you and say something deep. And I was trying to keep it simple. And this is who you go. Like, she'll just, like, squirrel. Like, she just goes, she's not paying attention. She doesn't give a fuck. And yeah, that's where I'm at right now with her.
She's her father's daughter, bro.
Basically. I feel like my son who just turned 3, I could maybe have more deep conversation with him.
What about you, Manny, and your kids? On the friendship tip,
we're actually having conversations with my youngest daughter about that now, and all my kids are having the same conversation with her, kind of in their own ways, because she has this thing that she feels she needs everybody to like her, and she doesn't like people being upset with her.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
So, and it starts here at home. Like I could tie it back to things that we might do or say that may make her feel like we don't like her. And then we got to make sure that we double back and like, you know, like if she does something that she's not supposed to, we reprimand her. And then she takes that as a sign of we don't love her. And we got to come back and be like, yo, no, like that never fit. You know, we got to kind of have this, that, the confidence conversation again about like, yo, never question whether or not we love you. We always love you and yada, yada. But she has that issue. And so with her friends in school, we noticed that she'll gravitate toward people that like may treat her like shit sometimes.
Mm.
And like my son is closest in age to her. So he'll see shit because they go to the same school and he'll check her. He'll be like, yeah, stay away from such and such because, yo, I saw what she was doing. Like, that's not cool. And you got to stand up for yourself. You got to let them know, like, you can't be tried like that, right? But she has a hard time doing that. So she'll kind of, like, gravitate to anybody that's accepting. And we're trying to teach her, like, yo, not everybody's going to be your ace or somebody you really should be messing with. And that's okay. Like, you can click up with whoever makes the most sense. But it's hard, man, because there's only been so much. She spends more time at school typically than she does here. And so for us, it's hard to like coach her because we're not seeing a lot of it. And luckily we have my son, but she's still in that mode.
And what about your son in terms of how he gets down with friends?
He's better. My son's funny though, because my son is popular in school, right? And thankfully so far that hasn't gone to his head. So he uses that responsibly, I would say. But when it comes to like who his best friends are or whatever, like he's like a nomad a little bit. And he doesn't have close ties to any one person, so to speak. And then on the flip side,
good though.
Yeah, I think it's an advantage.
Definitely.
For the most part. But then where I find it a little like strange, and maybe it's just because I'm kind of like that too. I have a very, very small group of friends, and
I had a joke to say, but I
won't. never a serious moment with this guy. but he has trouble like hanging out with friends in the sense that he'll go play ball with whoever, right, in a team environment. But then when I'm like, yo, we should have such and such come over to the house. Like, nah. And I'm surprised because I'm like, yo, that's y'all buddy buddy. Like, y'all get down together, y'all vibe. I could see it. He's like, yeah, no, he's cool, but I just don't want him in my house.
Yeah, he likes his personal space. I think that's dope.
I like that.
But my son is slick. My son knows that if anybody comes to this house that is their friend or cousin or whatever, it's on him.
Not a clean
all
up.
Of them clean up after their friends.
Right.
So as soon as you mentioned, yo, so-and-so come through, like, nah, B, like, that kid's kind of wild. Like, he might break some shit, and then it's on me? So I finally got it out of him. But at the same, I'm conflicted. I'm like, yo, that makes sense. But I'm a little bit concerned about it because I'm like, you know, social development, like, you should have some of these experiences. How about you? What's the situation at the KGB crib?
Kind of similar to your son at this point, just in terms of previous school and city, definitely had a handful of closer friends, and it was more consistent, like hanging out and that kind of stuff. He hasn't really clicked with too many folks yet. I mean, he's got like friends, but it's still kind of in that comparison mode of like, well, it's not really the same kind of vibe as it was with, you know, this group of friends or, you know, these folks. And so, yeah, still trying to kind of figure that out. But yeah, it's definitely more on the nomad tip.
Do you find like you and your family, you and your immediate family, you, your wife and your son,
mm-hmm.
do you feel like he feels like he doesn't really need to go too far out? Like he's very comfortable with y'all being his parents and pseudo friends.
Yeah, I would. I think for the most part, yes. Cause I mean, we do everything together and you know, so, I'd say yes for the most part, but you know, there's definitely times where he's, you know, well, what are we going to do today? Can I hang out with one of my friends? Or, you know,
yeah,
or it's
you
like,
you can't be kids with him.
Yeah.
With another kid.
Right. So there's definitely definitely not a lack of like wanting to hang out with us, but definitely there are times where, you know, he's just in the mode to hang out with another kid. And but then oftentimes, because we are also not like super connected with
the community,
families here and everything, and it's not like, you know, some of the folks that we knew previously, they live down the block, or you know what I mean, and it's like, okay, way more connected. And this, it's like, you know, right after school one day, it's, can I hang out with such and such? And I'm like, well, I don't even know this kid's parents' number. I don't know what the hell they do after school. You know what I mean? It's not that, it's not that easy.
You should just have a block party. Invite everybody over to the crib.
Nah.
Get EFN to spin.
I'm good. That's also another thing that I that's also another thing I have to get over. I mean, I'm fine with, you know, he's had friends come over and everything, but I'm also on the, my house is like,
it's your sanctuary.
Yeah. And so I have to get over that on my own, in my own head sometimes, of like, just fucking stop worrying about it. Shit, you know what I mean? It's so.
I get it. And I bet you, E, you're probably similar too. Cause, and I don't know if it's like our generation or culture or whatever, but like, I feel the same way about my house, but over the years I've let go more for their benefit, right? Because like,
yeah,
all right, friends come through, maybe they break some shit or they, you know, dirty some shit up.
Yeah.
I used to get really tight. But then I'm like, yo, like, what kind of shit was I doing in my friends' cribs?
Right. Yeah, I totally realized that, that's something that I have to work on, am working on, because I can, you know, my immediate thought when it's like, hey, can so-and-so come over, so-and-so, I'm in my head, I'm like, ah.
And you got to play host, which sucks too, playing right. Host.
Yeah.
No, and but then like, if your kid's friends start wilding out, like, what do you do? Like, you're going to like,
I don't want no kids in the crib. No, I don't want that shit.
Yeah,
that shit gets tough. Yeah,
they could bring people over when they're 21 or something.
Yeah, well, that's coming even soon. Then, that's coming soon, my friend.
I don't know, man. I want to pivot a little bit. Have you guys ever put much thought into how short of a period it is that our kids are kids?
Yes, all the time.
Yeah.
And that, and how much, like, do you ever go into a deep dive in saying like how much time that you work or do something else takes away from that time with that kid, with the kids?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, almost every
week I take in the kid, like I do a little bit of accounting and I'm like, yo, how much time did I spend like away from giving them attention?
Did I share this quote with you last time? I read a headline. It was last week. I think I was talking to my wife about it, but the headline was, the only people that will ever remember that you worked late were your kids.
Nah, I don't want to be sharing it, but I think I've heard that before.
Well, I saw something that on social media that was like, broke it down by like, you're only going to have 12 graduations. You're only going to take your kid to 12 of this. You're only going to do 5 of this. You're only going to do, you know, like all, like breaking down all those milestones until they're 18. And I was like, God damn, that's only this. It's a very short amount of time.
It's tomorrow.
And if you miss one, you miss one of 12 or one of this, you know, and it's like, fuck.
I was having this conversation with a friend of mine. He works a lot, bro. And he suffers because he doesn't get time with his kid. Right. And I'm like, as understanding as I want to be about people's circumstances, and look, I'm in a much more privileged position with my, you know, flexibility of my time than many people.
Stripper.
Exactly. You know, why are you telling everybody my shit like that, bro?
You work after the kids go to sleep. So they see you every day, all day, except midnight.
Magic Mike was based on Magic Manny, baby. Don't get it.
When you're cheeky.
No, but like, I get that, right? Like, not everybody has that flexibility, right? But both on the pole.
Man is doing splits.
You definitely have a lot of flexibility. That's the patrons say with Make it rain fucking, on you.
Fucking EFN, bro.
But I still feel like it's a choice, right? And I might get flagged for this.
Yo, can I mute this motherfucker? How do I mute this motherfucker?
It's definitely a choice, buddy.
Some people got to pay for college, so it's a choice.
go.
No, but as difficult as employment might be, as far as like, you know, flexibility with time, I think it's still a choice, right? Like, you got to find a way to factor in the time you need with your child,
right?
Regardless of what your work situation is. And I understand that that's not an easy thing for a lot of people. But at the end of the day, like to your earlier point, you got 12 moving up ceremonies. Many of the time, they don't even call them graduations anymore. They only really got like two or three, right? Middle school, into middle school is one, into high school is another, and then college. So like quality time with your kids is going to be, it's paramount. You don't want them to remember you as, yo, he always worked late. Like that shit is devastating.
To advocate for those that, like you said, that have no choice maybe, but to work a lot.
Yeah.
It's the quality over the quantity, but it's what happens is I think at that point is the memory of that childhood for that child is, wow, you know, I had a great parent or great, we're talking about fathers, a great father who worked hard as fuck, you know, and they don't look at that person being away as a negative because the quality of the time that they spent. And then later when they reflect, the child reflects back and says, look at the sacrifice that was made. That holds a lot of, you know, weight, that quality of time.
Yeah, unless they're not getting that quality of time, because also some people's kind of cultural mindset or wherever they come from in terms of, you know, what work means compared to, you know, like if I'm paying bills and taking care of things and making sure that everyone is taken care of, then I've done my job, and that's the quality time. All that other shit kind of goes out the window for some folks,
which was a mentality for a whole generation of people.
At one point.
You know, that's how the way it worked.
Yes. I feel for people like that, man. Like my friend and just people who struggle with that. Cause
yeah, I think that kind of cultural generation, that doesn't feel as prevalent today. Is it?
No, that was like the boomers generation, the baby boomers. It's funny because right now my son is transitioning out of diapers and I didn't notice it. You know, of course I got a little, you know, sad when my daughter transitioned, but I didn't notice it as much because then my son's in diapers and now he's transitioning out and I'm like, I don't want him to transition out of diapers. I mean, I do want it for him.
You like that fresh smell?
Bro, I have a really good way of just closing off my nose glands when it comes to that stuff. But I've said it before. The one thing I really truly enjoyed changing my kids' diapers when it was my daughter and my son, because I just felt like this is the one thing I can't fuck up.
Right.
And really, really helps them. You know, like everybody needs to get their ass clean. Nobody wants to work around with dirty ass and get rashed up. So I really, really enjoyed it. And it's like, to me, it's a quality time. Also, when that child's laying down, they're looking up at you, you're looking at them. You know, you can have a lot of quality time if you want to in that diaper change.
Yeah.
Yeah. You I try. Play with I'm, them. I'm you playful with them. You know, like I just, you know, I just really take in the moment. I really do my best to take in the moment when I'm changing the diaper. So the fact that he's transitioning out of it, I'm like, damn, man, like that's it. You know, and my daughter's done and then he's going to be done. And I'm like, and then I die. I really do look at it that morbidly because I'm like, bro, time is so finite. Like it's so fast. And like in the blink of an eye, you know, you're DJ EFN in 1993 starting Crazy Hill Productions, not even having turntables and not one fucking piece of hair on your chin. And then you're fast forward 30 years and you got a full on white beard
and no hair
on your head. yeah, man, it's just, I would say, I guess the final message that I'm trying to get out is really take in those moments with your kids when they're young. Don't take them for granted. Spend that quality time and just constantly be reminding yourself, because all of us, I'm sure every single one of us will, you know, forget that, you know, we could be spending time with the kids and we might be, we'll make ourselves busy doing something else while at home with the kids. Yeah. And, you know, and so, yeah, so just try to take advantage of the time while we have it.
Mic drop.
Yo, for real.
And go visit Manny at the strip club. Right. Support his family. So you can have that quality time. Support that.
No, but you could go to flydadgear.com.
Uh-huh.
The there family. All of us that you're listening to right now.
And where do you guys think that name came from? Fly Dad.
That's right. That's right. Wherever
up
you want.
Up next to the stage. Fly Dad.
You should see my helicopter trick.
He's like, Fly Dad, look at my gear.
Oh, shit.
Okay, your son was doing music for a little bit, no? Like, was he rapping or
no? He was messing around.
Was he tap dancing?
No, he was messing around with beats and DJing.
Oh, he's not doing it anymore.
He hasn't. But he's funny. He kind of gets into something and dips out a little bit, and then gets into something else, and then circles back around and start. You know what I mean?
That, right.
So I have a challenge, maybe not a challenge, something to bounce off of him to see if he'd be willing. So my son came home from school 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
Rhyme.
He was rhyming.
Okay.
He wrote lyrics and him and a buddy of his in class just like were rhyming. And it was actually like halfway decent. Like he could use a whole lot of work, but I was like, oh, like the wordplay like made sense. His flow was terrible, but I was like, yo, but you got the foundation here. Like, all right, if you're really into this, like, let's work on it. And I'm like, damn, all right. Like, he needs a beat so he could, like, learn how to use his lyrics on a track and then, like, you know, work on his flow. And I was going to text you guys, particularly you, Kay, and be like, yo, you got any old beats that you could dust off so he could use? But I remember, that's what I wanted to confirm, like, your son was dabbling in some of that. So if he got something, maybe that'd connect them two for them to like see if they can work on something together.
Yeah, let me go back and because I know he was messing around with some and we saved some. There was some that like that he and I were doing together. Let me go back and see if he saved them.
All right,
shoot them over to you. Right. Yeah.
You know, so in that performative vibe, what were we gonna say, Manny?
No, I was gonna switch gears. Go ahead.
No, my daughter did her first ballet recital this past weekend.
Dope. And, how was it?
It was cool, man. It was really cool to, you know, see her on stage and not be scared. It was actually, it's like a legit ballet academy she goes to, and they did the recital at this high school in Coconut Grove out here, and it was a big like auditorium. It was, you know, all lit up, and they were filming it professionally and all this crazy stuff. And she's a part of the youngest class, you know, the youngest kids, and they were first on stage.
How was your son's reaction to her?
So this is the all of this ties in. So we get there, we find out from other parents, we weren't sure that. Well, first of all, my girl knew that there was an intermission between there was four acts. So between act two and three, there was an intermission. So we're like, intermission? Like, how long could this shit be? And our daughter's in the first part, in the first act. Like, what the fuck? And then another parent's like, oh yeah, this is like 3 hours long.
Oh, man.
Like, 3 hours long? How can they expect a five-year-old, recently turned five-year-old, and me with a three-year-old here, recently turned three-year-old, to bear 3 hours of this?
And you like, with your ADHD, like, what's wrong with these people?
Yeah, they were like, no, they were like, yeah. And then one dude was like, yeah, you know, that's why I bring this flask. We're not
new. Oh, nice.
Right? So
you were like, yo, pass that shit, son.
And it was past their bedtime, too.
Oof.
It was around the bedtime when it started. So we had to like give our daughter to the school backstage, and then leave her with, they requested that she have treats, toys, anything to play with to keep, and all of that. So we're like, damn, dude, this is different.
Yeah, who thought of that time period?
Crazy. So then my first worry was, A, how was she gonna handle it backstage? and dressed up, completely dressed up in her ballet stuff. And then my son, is he going to, you know, we're going to have to walk out with him wilding out. Bro, this kid, first of all, he was so excited to see her. And then the reason why she had to stay, why they didn't release those young kids, because they come at the end and they do the bow and they do the finale, you know. And so we had to wait to that. Yo, he was just hyped just to see her again.
I bet.
And he was just like, Sissy up next, Sissy. And we're like, no, not yet. We gotta wait. Bro, he was good the whole time. Wow. Awake. The only thing he did was maybe shift from sitting on my lap to my girl's lap a couple times. But he was just, he didn't cry. He didn't ask for the phone. He was just there just watching the show and just waiting for his sister to come back on. And then when she came on, he applauded. And I was like so proud. And then she did so well to the point where I was like, man, I hope she doesn't have to go to the bathroom wearing that whole thing with just the teachers back there. She's like, yeah, you know, I pooped. We're like, what?
Oh, damn.
And mind you, and not to put too much TMI out there, she had a stomach issue the night before.
Oof. Oh, wow.
So we were worried, like, hopefully, you know, nothing goes astray during the, you know, during and before and during.
Can you imagine?
But she was like, she said that the teacher's like, she told the teacher, I have to go to the bathroom. They helped her out of her stuff, put her in the bathroom. And she said they gave her private time and that, you know, she cleaned herself. And then, you know, when we got home, we checked, she did good. And yeah, she went through it and she received her flowers at the end. She just looked like a little pro afterwards. And I asked her, how did you like the attention, the applaud, the people cheering? And she said she liked it. She's like, yeah, I really liked it. So I think, you know, she got the bug.
That's dope.
Nice.
It's, so your son still called, well, still, he's only two, what? Three. He still calls his sister Sissy.
Sissy, yeah.
So my youngest, actually both of my younger kids called their older sister Sissy. And now she's seven, my youngest. She calls her sister still Sissy. Every so often she'll call her by her real name. And like my wife and I will look at each other like, uh-oh, like that cute thing is going away now. But luckily it still sticks around. Like she still uses it, but you see it starting to fade. And that shit, like, I know bugs us out all the time. Cause we're like, oh, like all those little things, like Kay, you remember like your son probably at some point had this, like maybe it was a lisp or something that
made it a little bit of it.
Like that shit is so dope. And then when that shit starts to fade, you're like, fuck, bro. Mm-hmm. The cuteness thing like starts to go away.
Yeah, you gotta hold on to it.
It's like what you were saying though. Like they grow up really, really fast. And you hear that shit is so cliche, but man, when you're going in the moment, you don't realize it. And this is kind of the pro and the con of like having these you know, reminder pics or video.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yo, that was 2 years ago. Look at the difference between that and this and the other thing. And it's wild, man. I don't want them to grow up. But I have one question before we head out. And the question is,
we're heading out already?
I'll start with you, Kay. Yeah, it's almost that time.
Yeah.
What's the thing you run from that challenges your machismo? So your ego, right? As a man. That your lady or kids will stand up and handle.
The one thing that I run from?
I'll give you mine while you think about it.
All right.
E, get ready.
Oh, I got it. I already have my answer. Go ahead.
All right. So, blood. So, if my kids get injured and blood starts popping, I get so pissed that they got injured. And then fear sets in. That's one.
You get pissed at them that they're injured?
I get pissed at the situation, not at them. And that's what something I got to work on because I get upset at the circumstance. And of course, they're going to take it like it's on them. Like I'm pissed at them. Right, that's not the case. It's just it could be prevented. And so I'm just like, fuck, if we only did this and that, it wouldn't have happened. So, and then right away I get scared. And, you know, my wife, she knows me right now. She swoops in. Starts handling shit, and then
yeah, I understand that reaction though. I can understand it.
Go ahead. What's yours?
Mine is cockroaches. Ooh. I don't fuck with cockroaches.
See, I grew up. Cockroaches is like my cousins. I grew up.
Yeah, no, fuck that. Fuck cockroaches, man. You know, in LA when I was little, they were not that, you know, they were average sized little bugs. And then when I moved to Miami, they had a fucking Air Force and they were big palmetto bugs. I was like, fuck that shit, man.
So your lady will come in and she'll handle it. She'll hit it with the chocolate.
She'll be like, oh, cockroach, you don't get it. Get it. And I'll be like,
nope.
I'll get it. But my way is like a long ass broom or a fucking or a vacuum cleaner and do some all kinds of crazy shit. In. Like I ain't going up on that bitch. Like I ain't trying to fucking put that shit in a headlock. My girl will go and do the chancleta thing. I don't even want that shit touching my shoe, bro. Fuck a cockroach. What about you, Kay?
Man, I'm racking my head. Well, let's see. Yogurt.
What?
What? This is some Buddha shit.
No, nah, if they want to eat yogurt, they got to go scoop all that and do all that themselves to eat yogurt. I don't like fucking dealing with yogurt.
You don't like scooping yogurt out of the yogurt thing?
Nah.
That's some weird shit.
Not that I'm scared of it. I just don't like it. Yeah,
it fucks you up. But is it like the consistency, the way it looks? What about it?
I'm not quite sure. I haven't really thought about it. So
you don't
want to. I'm just thinking about, like, well, you know.
You don't even eat it. Like you can't be near it.
I mean, sometimes I'll dish it up for them if they want. But if, for the most part, you know, if it's like, oh, can I have a thing? I'm like, that's not something I do.
you guys don't be eating parfaits and shit.
No.
That's hilarious. The other thing
I don't really like although I like frozen yogurt.
Okay, but that's a different consistency. Maybe it's
I like some non-dairy. I think it's the dairy side of things. I'm not super big on dairy.
You must have had a situation with yogurt.
Yeah, you had a traumatic shit storm.
Something happened to you.
I don't know. I don't like milk. Although I do like ice cream, but I don't like milk. So I guess I attribute yogurt to just to milk. Yeah, and no so problem. I don't fuck with it though.
Snakes? You want to see me run like a little bitch?
I mean, I think snakes is whatever. Like nobody wants to be around hanging around a snake.
Nah, right? I get there's a, you know how I don't think roaches do this, but like you ever like you jerk your body so hard over like something that stupid, but in the moment it's like your life is in danger. And like you
cockroaches.
Does that to you?
Yeah.
Bro. Like if it was a flying roach, I could see that for me anyway. But like
it doesn't have to fly, it just has to come near me. I'm out of here. Fuck a roach, man.
You'll see me skin like nasty. A motherfucker.
Yeah, they are nasty.
But a snake, come on. Nobody likes snakes unless you're a fucking snake handler.
That's true.
I feel like that that's an average one, man. Like there was a snake in our pool area and I mean, I was trying to capture it. Actually, I did capture it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go that close. I couldn't get that close. With the pool.
I mean, you're just a little bitch, anything. Man.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Especially with fucking snakes. Get out of here.
I guess we'll table it for next week if it's even news. But y'all seen the new UFO shit?
Which one?
That dude that you was talking about on Twitter,
the one saying they have they have a whole spacecraft.
He says they've had spacecrafts for decades and bodies, but there's something off with that dude. I mean, he's supposed to be official. Like this is not like the other whistleblowers. He's supposed he's a legit whistleblower. He's in the system. Went straight to Congress. Went through the whole official whistleblower system, and he's like legit. Whoa, why are you laughing?
He went to whistleblowers. He went to whistleblower school.
You blow a lot of whistles right now, bro.
Blow the whistle. So he's trying, but it's funny because we're in this like time and in this world that none of this shit matters anymore to anybody. Like, whatever, bro.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, who cares about an alien? What's trending on fucking IG right now?
All right, table that. Let's talk about that next week. I gotta get the hell out of here.
All right, Joe.
Go do your thing.
All right.
Pizza.
Yo, be a father. If not, why bother, son? A boy can make him, but a man can raise one. Be a father to your child.